So it has been about 3 years since we've had a rockin' radio here on Geekcast Radio. I am, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me is JT from Saskatoon. Hello, sir.
How you doing?
I think I need the quarterback. Anyway, we are here. The last one of these we did was for Nickelback's No Fixed Address. I almost hate to say it, but I think that was a better track listing than this as far as the order of the tracks. Feed the Machine is the new album from Nickelback.
Well, maybe they won't get sued by Lloyds of London this time. Because for brief history lesson, we all know Nickelback canceled much of their, I think it was like almost 90% of their 2015 tour when Chad developed a cyst on his vocal cords, and then they had to deal with the legal fallout from that. And then when they put in an insurance claim because of that, Lloyds of London claimed it was a pre-existing condition, and then, you know, you didn't disclose that when they set up this policy like years before.
How is a cyst growing on your vocal cord a pre-existing condition? I mean, unless he was born with it, which we all know he wasn't.
Dealt with the American medical insurance, like, well, London.
Let's not even, this is rock and roll, damn it. We're not getting into insurance companies, whether they be American or stiff-ass Brits.
Like I said, Nickelback, they canceled their tour. Chad got the surgery. He was in recovery. And then the lawsuit began, and then Nickelback countersued them.
Mm-hmm.
So. But yeah, I'm not saying I wasn't eagerly anticipating a new Nickelback album. It's just life gets in the way, and sometimes you forget that there's a new album coming. So
see, I didn't forget about it. The problem with me was, it's a problem with me. It's not about them and how they promote their music, because that's what you're supposed to do. After I heard Feed the Machine the first couple of times, the title track, I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. I liked it. And you know, Song on Fire is obviously the first pop/ballad track. And Kroger did say that this album was going to be a lot heavier. It was going to be a return to, you know, 21 years ago or, you know, 17 years ago or whatever. Early Nickelback. And for the most part, it is. I just feel that Feed the Machine has the most disjointed track order.
That's true, but it's not that I wasn't anticipating the next Nickelback album. It's just, like I said, life gets in the way. And up until, two or three months back when Mike said, you know, you get like two or three days of Mike Blanchard has tagged you in his post on Facebook, I had, you know, it kind of slipped my mind. And then, you know, yeah, I Feed the Machine. It's a return. I wouldn't say it's a return to form, but they're kind of going back to the well, you know, getting back to the young, hungry days of Nickelback. Feed the Machine is good as far as like a concept song, you know, something where they're telling a story. They've got a bit of a narrative kind of threaded throughout the album.
Yeah.
That first track wasn't bad. I'm going to say Song on Fire is good.
Song on Fire is good. The problem I have with Song on Fire, again, this goes back to my, and we'll go through the track listing in a moment here once we get our initial opinions out. My problem with Song on Fire is it's not the song itself, it's the placement of where it is in the album. I don't think it should have been where it is, and we'll talk about where it is in a minute. But what else were you gonna say?
I was just gonna say, like, Must Be Nice is out of the first three major tracks, mm-hmm. Must Be Nice is probably my favorite.
Yeah,
although, you know, going on, we'll get into like what I think is actually my favorite song on the album.
Yep.
As we go.
And the other problem I had with this was, before my computer crapped the bed and I had to have it, you know, brought back to life, the Nickelback Feed the Machine iTunes pre-orders only listed 10 tracks. We all know Nickelback is notorious for having 11-track albums. And I specifically remember watching or hearing an interview with Chad Kroeger, with Ryan Peake, with Mike, and all of them. Chad specifically said, the record company pays us for a certain amount of tracks. That's what we're going to do. Now, I understand that. I get that. You're only being paid so much to do so much. But you look at other bands, like specifically Blackstone Cherry, okay? From, and I don't know about their first two albums, but from 2011's Between the Devil and the Deep Blue Sea to Magic Mountain to the most recent album from last year, Kentucky, all of those have had bonus tracks or additional tracks or store exclusive tracks or whatever. And Nickelback used to do that. I mean, you know, you go back and look at The Long Road had a special edition version and things like that. You look at what, I forget who was it. Was it Alex Ritchie? Somebody commented recently about, I don't think it was that, you know, Batman, you know, piss-loving guy that we both know. But somebody commented about how Theory of a Dead Man is Nickelback light. Even Theory of a Dead Man has had bonus track versions and things like that, but you go through Nickelback's discography, and most of the albums are either 10 or 11 tracks, especially since just After All the Right Reasons. So what was it? Dark Horse was After All the Right Reasons. So from Dark Horse to now, it's pretty much been 11 tracks. When this came out, I'm like, 10 tracks? Wait, that's not their normal stance. So I just left the pre-order there, and I'm like, okay, cool, whatever. And then I get a notice. I look at their Facebook page and Twitter page, and I get a notice from iTunes saying, your pre-order has been canceled because they added an 11th fucking track. Are you kidding me? Seriously? You're going to have somebody do a pre-order, and then, you know, I didn't actually get the pre-order notification that it wasn't going to be fulfilled because thankfully I had already canceled it. But I didn't actually get the notification from iTunes until the day of album release. That's fucked up, Apple. I'm sorry it is, but it is.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. Like, you got the pre-order and they add a track, so, you know, that I find that really confusing. Like, why would they? Oh, yeah. God, I've gone cross-eyed.
I know, right? Just, yeah. And they're like, we're sorry. And again, they made it sound like, oh, well, we wanted to do more. You know, we wanted to get back to work for you guys and give you one more track. And, oh, please, you didn't want to give us one more track. You got more money for that track.
Yeah, it's, well, I mean, yeah, it's the business. And, yeah, they want more,
you know,
money. It's just,
they got more money for that 11th track. And, sadly, that 11th track,
We'll get to it.
I have so many. Okay, so the track listing, 11 tracks. First track is Feed the Machine. Second track is Coin for the Ferryman. Third track is Song on Fire. Fourth track is Must Be Nice. Fifth track is After the Rain. Sixth track is For the River. Seventh track is Home. Eighth track is The Betrayal, Act 3. Huh? Where's Acts 1 and 2? Ninth track is Silent Majority. Tenth track is Every Time We're Together. And then the 11th track is The Betrayal, Act 1. Huh? Which is just a fucking instrumental. I'm all for an instrumental Nickelback album. That's fine. But where the hell is The Betrayal, Act 2? What the hell is going on here? Why does Act 3 come before Act... Like...
Is the sky blue? Why doesn't ice cream have bones?
Shut up.
Ours is not to know why. Ours is to listen. And
no. This needs to make some sort of sense. And I'll get my track listing gripes out of the way here. Song on Fire is pretty much the most ballady song on the album. It should have, I almost want to say, put it at track 9 and have it go right before Every Time We're Together. Because you look at Feed the Machine, Coin for the Ferryman, Must Be Nice, After the Rain and For the River and Home, those are all very fairly hard, heavy tracks. hearing a slow song track after Coin for the Ferryman just, it feels out of place to me.
I mean, it's not, I think that what they did with the track listing is they front loaded the album with like the strongest tracks, obviously. I mean, yeah, compared to like Feed the Machine and Coin for the Ferryman, Song on Fire is,
it's out of place.
It's not a weaker song. It's because they're going for more of a power ballad,
yeah,
sort of sound, the rock song, kind of an anthem almost. It does. It's like you're up there with like the hard stuff, and then there's like this abrupt left turn, heading down the old Switchback Trail, you know, like with this ballad. So I generally, for me, it's not a huge thing, track listing. Like, if I enjoy the songs, I enjoy the songs. It's, mm-hmm, you know, if I'm going to, I'll make a playlist later in iTunes, you know, and set it up the way I want it to set up, tell a story like that, you know, because you're looking at the track listing. I mean, they started off with the title track of the album. That kind of, duh, you know, is the,
yeah,
best in this thing, because you kind of want to start off like that. And I find that first track, it's just because they're telling this story and it's like in the future and corporate, you know, it's kind of got like this whole idea like corporations or the machines have kind of taken over.
It's essentially a theme for the old Matrix movies. Is this oppression just in my mind? And that's exactly when I first saw the track title and when I first saw the single album artwork. The single album artwork was different from the actual album art. The actual album art is a guy, you know, with his arms out, with, you know,
standing in front of a crowd, very
very
Bill Gates.
Very
or not Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, kind of
very Steve Jobs-ish, or I would even dare to say very Neo-ish, because again, Feed the Machine, and he's got what looks like, you know, the Matrix kind of not wires, but, you know, things going, you know, plugging into his back kind of thing. So this whole album kind of reminds me of the original Matrix movie a little bit, at least with the imagery and with Feed the Machine itself. I like the chords and the progressions on Feed the Machine. I think it's great that they, I think it's like a minute and a half that it's all instrumental right up front until the first part of the lyric kicks in. I love that. I thought that was great. So, you know.
Well, I know it's definitely got that, you know, that Nickelback sound, like the hard charging guitar,
mm-hmm,
riffs and all that. And that's one of my favorite things about Nickelback's music is, you know, it's not exactly 80s hair rock, you know, which is a lot of the stuff I love listening to growing up, but it's that's their kind of signature sound, mm-hmm, is like those short, intense riffs.
Yeah.
With a lot of their music. And you know, when you talk about, you know, storytelling in song, maybe I didn't quite get the story, but in Coin for the Ferryman, just kind of, if you know stuff about mythology and the Greek underworld and all that, like Coin for the Ferryman, I mean, they're talking about, you know, Charon the ferryman, you know, the guy takes you across the river Styx to the underworld.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just that whole, the music and everything, and knowing what I know about mythology, just constantly had that imagery in my mind listening to, you know, Coin for the Ferryman. again, it did have that Nickelback sound. I would almost say this is probably my least favorite song on the album, just.
See, it's my favorite because I think it's the hardest one they did on this.
Well, yeah,
I
and
mean,
it's not that.
Feed the Machine is hard, Must Be Nice is hard, but Coin for the Ferryman is by far harder
Yeah.
on, you know, some of the instrumentals and things like that, so.
And it's not that I, hated it. It's just, I just disliked it in the thing that the energy, it's a little too frenetic. It's just
But see,
a
that's what I
little.
think they need. I think that, okay, so, you know, that's what I think they need right now. Everybody always complains about Nickelback being the rock ballad band. You know, you look at How You Remind Me, Someday, Photograph, not,
They did
Gotta Be
lean very heavily
Somebody.
on that.
Yeah, Gotta Be Somebody. What were the ones from Here and Now? I don't even, like, Lullaby and things like that. Okay, and Song on Fire is essentially, and we're not going to get into that, but Song on Fire is essentially another string of the same thing of that's their ballad, that's going to be their ballad for the album. Because honestly, really, the rest of the 10 tracks past besides Song on Fire really is the only true Nickelback Someday, Photograph, How You Remind Me ballad type. The rest of these tracks are all fairly fucking hard, and they are awesome. But Coin for the Ferryman, I think everybody always complains, oh, they're just a ballad band, they're just this. I wish they would go back to their roots of being hard rockers. That's what Coin for the Ferryman does.
Well, yeah, no, just like I said, just, and it's not that I dislike it, just saying of,
Yeah.
you could make the argument that the instrumental track that they end the album with is the weakest song, and we'll get
Yes,
there.
it is.
But like I said, it's just, I'll come, I'm not saying this is, my only opinion, just I'll probably come around on that eventually. It's just, having only listened to the album a couple of times since I got it, is that this is not my favorite track, and then like we were saying, we move on to like Song on Fire, that's the ballad.
It's your tradition, and look, folks. I am a diehard Nickelback fan. You're a diehard Nickelback fan. Everyone else that we, you know, interact with is not. Everybody else just bashes them no matter what, and they don't really give reasons why they don't like them. They'll say, "Oh, well, they don't make good music." Well, neither does Justin fucking Bieber, and he's from Canada too. And I bet
Yeah.
he's less. I bet Nickelback is more hated than he is. But it's one of those things where "Song on Fire" is a great ballad. I believe it's about, you know, Chad's divorce from Avril, I would assume. 'Cause really, did anybody see that lasting? I'm sorry, I don't mean to spe normally I don't speculate on my favorite musicians' personal lives 'cause I don't care as long as they give me a good album, but like really, when I heard that news they had gotten married, I'm like, "Really? Seriously?" That is a really weird combination.
Yeah,
And
as
hearing
much as.
her sing some of Nickelback's songs is just mind-blowingly weird.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I would like to say, gee, I hope it works out for those crazy kids, I'm not like, it's like, not that I don't care about the personal lives, but you know, we both grew up in the 80s where, you know, paparazzi, all that was really in its, in almost, it's still in its infancy. You know, and there was still some mystique, and you didn't know, like, Brad Pitt went to the grocery store and bought some Skittles. You know, so when I heard about that, and I was like, huh, well, maybe it'll work. You know, that's really as far as I went with that. And definitely listening to the lyrics, Song on Fire is influenced, if not directly
I mean, I love
based.
the lyrics. I think the lyrics are great. The song is great. The only thing I don't like about it, as I've already, hammered into the ground here, is the placement of it on the album. It should have been, if Chad Kroeger is going to tell me this is going to be a return to classic Nickelback, this is going to be us hard rocking it out, Song on Fire should be second to last or the last track
Yeah, it's
on
kind
the
of like
album.
on Here and Now, like I would have put this at the as the last track, like Don't Let It End, because I love,
Absolutely.
after working my way through that album and then Don't Let It End, like I love that song. And you move on to Must Be Nice, this and Silent Majority, which is like the ninth track in the album. Those are my two favorite tracks. And I'm putting it out there, like Must Be Nice. This is my favorite song on the album. I'm not gonna argue with the placement. I'm pretty
No,
fine.
I don't have a problem. No. Like I
I'm
said,
not
the
saying you have a problem. I'm just saying I'm like, in terms of, you know, after, you know, listening to music for years and years on end, I think this is a good kind of middle of the album song. If you want something that's gonna grab you, you know, keep you trucking through the album. So where its placement, I got the problem with. And it has that, you know, it has everything I love in a Nickelback song. You know, it's got the guitar riffs. It's, you know, got, you know, Chad on main vocals. It's got that, the little hooks and just like the music and how it played mixed, you know, with the music, with the lyrics. Like it all just kind of comes together for me in the song.
Yeah, you're right, and it does. And it's got a nice hook. It's got some great lyrics that are, fairly catchy, 'cause let's face it, that's what Nickelback has to do. They have to come up with catchy lyrics for various songs that they are doing. And like I said, the only track out of the entire album I have a problem with the placement. I have no problem with any of the other ones as far as placement. It's just Song on Fire that I have a problem with. So must be so if I was making my own playlist, I would, like you said, put Song on Fire as the last track after every. Actually, I'd probably put it before Every Time We're Together. I'd probably put it in between Silent Majority and Every Time We're Together. So you start off with Feed the Machine, Coin for the Ferryman, Must Be Nice, After the Rain, For the River Home. Those are all fairly all hard tracks. I'm sure they're going to try to find a way to make After the Rain, which is the next track after Must Be Nice, some sort of way to make that a ballad. But I've listened to that track over and over and over again since the album release on June 16th of this year. I don't think there's any, like I said, Song on Fire seems to be the only ballad on the album. Every Time We're Together, maybe you could make an argument for that. But I don't know. I do like After the Rain, though. That has some nice hooks and stuff in it.
Yeah, and I would say this is like another ballad for the album. Like it's got, you know, that's, it's slowed down. Like the energy is, you know, it's they slow it down a little bit. There's a little more of, you know, that what a lot of people have bitched about, like the whole schmaltzy, slow, like, you know, sweet sounding Nickelback tracks, like, you know, Photograph or Someday. Like there's just that kind of middle of the roadness to the song.
I
And
would listen to, 'cause, and this is only because I've listened to Song on Fire so much, but I would listen to After the Rain more right now at this point of the recording than I would Song on Fire. Like I said, I like Song on Fire, but because it was one of the three lead singles, I've heard it so much at this point. Actually, before I did the quick re-listen before we recorded this, I'd listened to the whole album before we recorded this, but before that, I actually took out Song on Fire. I took it completely off my playlist because I've heard it so much already. It's not as overplayed as How You Remind Me, but it's gonna get there eventually.
I don't know if it'll get quite that big, because that the How You Remind Me is that was the lightning in a bottle that, catapulted Nickelback into the public consciousness. You want to talk about a hook, it's when Chad hits that high note in the, in the back, like in the third act of the song, towards the end there, like you will never forget this band now, no matter how much you try, sort of moment. But no, After the Rain, like I said, it's a ballad. I love the song, and not as much as, Must Be Nice or Song on Fire and such like that. That's just when you get into For the River.
I love the placement of these two with After the Rain and then For the River. Because After the Rain, while it is sorta, kinda, not really a ballad in my mind, I mean, I get why you think it's a ballad, and that's great, and that's fine, and whatever. But tracks 5 and 6 almost remind me, no pun intended here, folks, of what they did on No Fixed Address. What they did on No Fixed Address, which was the album before this, they had, oh no, it came, oh, they did that with the video. Okay, so track 6 and 7 on No Fixed Address was get, track 6 was Satellite, and 7 was Get 'Em Up. Get 'Em Up was a single before Satellite was, but how they did the videos was it was a two-part video where Get 'Em Up was the first part of the story, and then Satellite was the second part of the story. And that's kind of how I feel what they're doing with After the Rain and For the River. They're not story connected, but the feel of the tracks, like it feels natural that For the River comes after the rain.
Yeah, it's I think my major gripe with the song, like it's a good song, it's like I said, it's got the riffs, which is something I love in my rock music. I just think what bothers me with the song is stylistically, if that's the proper word, it sounds so similar in its structure to Must Be Nice, with how Chad's singing and the music and everything, that I think it just that's why it rubs me the wrong way, because it sounds so similar to Must Be Nice, but is not Must Be Nice.
I think the reason you're thinking that is because it Must Be Nice is a much faster pace.
Well, it, yeah, I mean, there's
I'm
that.
saying
It's.
his lyrics are, how he's saying, the lyrics on Must Be Nice, that song is done. It's sung at a faster pace because the lyrics kind of flow into each other, whereas For the River, it's a hard track, but the lyrics are almost soft a little bit.
Yeah,
So.
but aside from that, it's a great song. Just like I said, it just for me, it just sounds ne never like it's a Never Mind the Sweet. It's just it sounds so similar to Must Be Nice that I'm just kind of like, eh, it just it doesn't do a whole lot for me.
Yeah, I understand that. And up next, we have Home. Didn't they already release it? No, that was that was the name of the DVD. I was gonna say there have been several times in Nickelback's career where they've had songs that they've re-released as the same title before. So Home, I like. I think the lyrics are a little weird, but I like it. What about you?
I'm gonna quote the neutrals from Futurama. I have no strong feelings one way or the other about this track. Like, I can't believe I'm saying this about a Nick. Like, I've never said this before about a Nickelback song. Like, meh. Like I said, like it's a decent song, and the guys are working on it. It just this does absolutely nothing for me. I'm sad to say, and again,
Like I said, I like Home, but it's one of those things where some of the lyric, like she smells like home, like
yeah.
it just that one part of the lyric is just weird. I love all the instrument, I love all the riffs and the drums and all that stuff behind it, but just some of the lyrics are just a little strange.
Yeah, no, it's like you said, it's okay. It does nothing for me. I can't honestly think, it doesn't hook me in any way that I have, like I said, the neutrals. I have no strong opinion about this one way or the other.
Then we get the Betrayal Act 3.
Which, I agree with you, both in the sense of the track listing and, like, I remember listening to. There was a couple of Kiss albums I had growing up, and a couple other rock albums where you had, the title track, and then it was like part three, or say let's call it the comeback part six. That some albums that they're going for a concept, or they had some narrative weaving through these specific songs. That I've always enjoyed that kind of an idea. But again, like you said, with the track listing, it's kind of confusing to listen to part three and then listen to part one and have no idea about part two.
And part one really has nothing to do with part three whatsoever, in
Well,
my opinion.
yeah, but again, we don't really know what the narrative that Chad and the boys are going with here.
And the
It's
other.
for me, just likening, it's like when I love the Scream movie series. And I saw Scream 2 and then before I ever saw Scream 1. So, you get thrown into the middle of the story like that with no idea of the context or the progression of events from before. It's just really confusing. Which is kind of how I feel listening to the Betrayal Act 3. It listens. It's like Act One, which is I really enjoy it. Part two, and then this is part three. At least that's my head canon here. Unless they come out with an unreleased single each between this and the next album. Something like that. Words
At
I
this
just
point, the
can't
next album isn't going to be until 2020.
Well, words get why you kind of tape it on the track and then now you're then thinking about it and like yeah this it aside from where the songs go in terms of how you like songs I was like okay whatever it's the track list and the company made it but it's just really confusing to be missing. You've got A New Hope and Return of the Jedi. Where's Empire? Because we're missing the middle chapter. So
Yeah,
there
it got force choked out of existence.
was Jar Jar would have been stroked out of existence. But that
Rogue
being
One is
said,
absolutely useless except for the end.
musically, lyrically, I think while it's not my favorite song, the Betrayal Act 3 I think is the strongest track on the album. It shows the most maturity and the most growth as artists that Nickelback has shown. Not saying that they haven't grown, but let's face it, they got away from it on No Fixed Address, but for like Here and Now and Dark Horse and what was the one before Dark Horse?
Oh God.
when they're in the depths of that,
All the Right Reasons.
All the Right Reasons. Those three albums, that's where Nickelback haters get a lot of their fuel for the whole stripper anthems, and they're not even trying. It's all just the same songs over and over again. That because, like they're, like you said, they're trying something new. They're trying to grow as artists. I think the Betrayal Act 3 shows they are growing. Not that they were never not artists, because, you know, when we spoke a while back about their cover of Dirty Laundry, like,
yeah,
you know, that shows, like, okay, it's a cover, but they put their heart and soul into that cover, you know, especially when you watch, like, live video, you see Chad laying down that riff in the middle of the song. Like, these guys can, anyone says Nickelback sucks, it's just, if they're either on the bandwagon or they just don't care.
Silent Majority, another almost politically charged track, which is fine. They're entitled to, you know, express their feelings of certain things, and that's fine. I like it. I think it's interesting. It's not remotely a track. I listen to it, but it's not a track that I listen to all of the time after the first three listens, I think. This, by far, out of all of the, because this is their ninth studio album, so out of all nine of the studio albums, this is the one that I pick and choose the tracks more than any other album. Because, again, I was expecting something more of an album narrative, to where each song would tell a, you know, a single part of a larger story. And as I said at the beginning of this, I just feel that this entire album, the track listing, is disjointed, except in a couple of places. What were you thinking on Silent Majority?
This is my other favorite track from the album. Basically, it's got everything I love. It's like Must Be Nice. It's got everything I love in a Nickelback track. You know, it's got the hooks, it's got the guitar riffs, Jesus. You know, it just has everything I want in a Nickelback song. It's like I said, it's by no means is it the best song on the album, like objectively speaking, but it is my one of my two favorite songs in the album. Like this, you know, this is like, I like this in terms of, you know, Welcome to the Jungle by GNR, you know, Talk Dirty to Me by Poison, Animal by Def Leppard. Like, it is by no means their best song, but this is just that one that hits you right in the sweet spot that you're just like, fuck yes, turn it up. Pardon my French.
No, go ahead, it's fine.
Well, I'm just saying that this is that, you know, heck yeah song, like, turn this up.
Yep.
This is the sort of song that I would love to play it so loud in traffic that somebody must roll down their windows and tell me to turn it down, and then I turn it up louder. Sorry, I can't hear you. The music's too loud. Which I actually did with playing Nickelback once.
This is almost like, it's not as hard as Bodies, but it's almost as hard as Drowning Pool's Bodies. It's almost, was that one song?
I wouldn't put it anywhere near as hard as Drowning Pool's Bodies. I mean, I love that song, don't get me wrong.
I'm saying the catchiness of Silent Majority is kind of like that. Oh God, what is the name of that stupid song? Oh, I'm trying to think.
It's something not... that no one has ever accused a Nickelback fan of doing.
What's that?
Trying to think.
Ha! Honey, you asshat.
I say it with love.
No, there was a, oh, I know what it was. Silent Majority is the song you want to crank up, just like people wanted to crank up Disturbed Stupefy. There were several times a few number of years ago that I was running around town here in Louisville, Kentucky, and I heard, like, two different people on two different days have Stupefy from Disturbed at full blast in their car stereos, and I'm like, hey, I know that song.
You can turn it down now, thank you, I remember.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we find out that Chad Kroeger is dating Taylor Swift.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that? It sounded like you said Tay Tay had her claws in my Nickelback.
Yeah, she does. Because,
oh,
dear
sweet, fragrant Fanny Moses.
Because apparently, we're never, ever, ever getting back together sounds similar to every time we're together.
You know what? It's... Oh, God.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you.
God damn it, Tom Hiddleston. You couldn't have kept that shit on lock. Because when Loki, the god of mischief, was dating, I was like, you know what? Good for you. You deserve each other. And I meant that honestly, because it's not like I hate Taylor Swift or anything. It's just... Every time I think of Taylor Swift, I'm reminded of the joke. Taylor Swift waved hi to boy. He didn't wave back. Her new album will be out on Tuesday. I just...
Yeah, but...
Hopefully it'll work. You know, because honestly, like...
Well, I'm essentially giving you fake news. I don't know if it's actually true. I'm just saying, as soon as I heard Every Time We're Together, that hook, I instantly thought of that Taylor Swift song because of the fact that that's what it sounds like. And I went back to the Taylor Swift song and I grabbed it and I'm like, yeah, it kind of does a little bit, just part of that chorus. It's so friggin' weird. And while I love Ryan Peake and I love his instrumental stuff and whatever, you know, work that they put into this, I'm sorry, Every Time We're Together should have been the last track. The Betrayal Act 1 should not be here. It should be somewhere else in the album. Because it's not... Like, I got like 2.5 minutes... Well, no, I got a minute and a half into a 2 minute and 42 second song, and I'm like, where are the lyrics? I didn't realize it was going to be an instrumental track. And I'm fine with Nickelback experimenting. Hell, they had Flo Rida on the last album, for fuck's sake. I mean, you know.
They had the entire state of Florida on their album? I didn't notice that.
Funny. Funny guy.
Yeah, but back to the album.
Look. They've experimented in the past, and that's fine. I mean, you look at 2008's Dark Horse. That was produced by Mutt fucking Lang, of all people. You know, and that's fine. That is not a problem whatsoever. Having Flo Rida on No Fixed Address one track is fine. I have no problem with that. If Nickelback is going to do an instrumental, put it somewhere where it makes sense, not the last fucking track on the album, because this makes no damn sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I don't ever remember reading anything, any news-wise, about this being an... I remember when they released the track listing, it showed the Betrayal Act 1 and Act 3. I do not remember anything about the little track listing image that Nickelback's social media showed about it saying it being an instrumental. Yeah. So when I first heard this, I'm like, what the fuck is this?
True. And you know what? I'm not going to put any more thought into this. I think, just in the fact that, I didn't even comment. Every Time We're Together, it's a perfectly serviceable song. It's something Nickelback has put out before. It's kind of like home in that, as much as I didn't, had no strong opinions about home, I I doubt I'll remember every time we're together, you know, going for it's like, oh yeah, that's a Nickelback song. And you know, what character am I going to play as Mortal Kombat? Like, it's literally, it's like that.
Yeah.
It's that breeze. You know, you talk about, I think as far as the track listing goes and how they have, like, we're missing, you know, like I said, we're missing the Empire Strikes Backs of this supposed trilogy. I guess these Chad's just trying to do some sort of experimental artsy rock thing here. Maybe we'll get part two as a separate single. Maybe it'll be on the next album. Maybe there won't ever be one, you know.
Maybe somebody maybe said Feed the Machine could have been part
well, yeah,
two.
I kind of alluded to that earlier. At this point, maybe they were so unhappy with Betrayal Act Two, they're treating it like Halloween Three Season of the Witch, that it doesn't matter in the continuity of this of the franchise, and maybe it'll people will come around and discover it and will love it for its on its own sort of thing. But I gotta say, I love the kind of influences, like kind of, I don't think they actually, there's some influences in the instrumental here that sound very much, I'd say almost inspired, maybe inspired by Carlos Santana. Like there's like elements of Spanish guitar and that sort of very melodic music. I want to say music play, but you know, very kind of Spanish guitar style performance in the piece, and I really enjoy it. Now, again, placement on the album, I think it's in the wrong damn place. This should have been like 6 or 7, and Must Be Nice, I would have put, or After the Rain, I would have put either of those songs as the final track, because that's what we're used to from the last couple albums, that, you know, it's got the beats and flows. That being said, this is probably my third favorite track on the album, just because, again, it goes towards showing that they have grown so much more than people are giving them credit for in terms of, you know, their artistic abilities. And this is a very good example of this is what happens if you guys just shut up and listen to the music.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
if I can just for a moment get on my soapbox about music haters in general.
Oh, Lord, here we go.
Never mind Nickelback haters, because I'm done with you people. I could care less than to quote a comic book written by Warren Ellis called Transmetropolitan, who has one of my favorite not giving a shit lines of all. I could give less than two tugs of a dead dog's cock whether or not you like the band. You like it, you don't like it. What the F ever? What I take offense, well, not offense, but, you know, umbrage with, what I take, I guess, take offense with is don't bitch. You know, it's, and this goes for a lot of things. It's like, man, I like the Mummy movie that came out. A lot of people don't, and I agree. It's a very flawed movie. But people talking and commenting on whether or not something is good or bad as if your opinion was the final nail in the coffin, that's what I get, and that's what I hate. And especially when you talk about music from everything you can talk about, whether, you know, how well it's sold, how well it plays on the radio, how the lyrics and the guitar play mix, that's fine. For me and for a lot of people, music is about how it hits you in the heart, not the head. It's about how it makes you feel, not how it makes you think. So you don't like Nickelback, fine, don't like Nickelback, but don't sit there and crow like your opinion is any more or less valid than the next guy. I've talked to metalheads who, Nickelback's okay, they're not my cup of tea, but they've got some skills, versus some, you know, oh God, Carlton Banks, you know, sweater over the shoulders wearing, who will say, you know, talking about whatever they're listening to. It's just, you know what, music affects everyone differently, and I've never thought my opinion was more or less valid than the next guy. End of rant.
Yeah. I mean, they're the the whole pre-order thing just, oh God, it was
Your
like,
bacon?
yeah, I don't know. It just, almost soured me on the whole thing. Really, seriously. I mean, I was excited, you know, when we had the news of, hey, Feed the Machine's coming, and, you know, February 1st, 2017, we're gonna get the first new single, and whatever else, and looking at the original track listing image that Chad posted, or that Nickelback posted on the social media sites, I just counted them. It has 11 tracks. I forget what the hell was originally listed in iTunes, but originally it was listed in iTunes as 10 tracks. So I don't know what the hell they had missing. But I don't know. I would have to go back and listen to our No Fixed Address review, because I don't remember. It was 3 years ago. I don't remember what the hell we rated that. Feed the Machine, 0 to 5. I'll give it a 3.5. Out of 5?
I can go with it. That's kind of how I'm feeling, too. Like I said, it's almost a 4. You know, it's like a 3.75. You know, that sort of thing. It's a good album. It's almost a great album. Like I said, the only thing that really sours me is, like you, the track listing. And, like I said, with Home, just... And Every Time Together, it's just... Even for some of my like Dark Horse, not my favorite Nickelback album, but you know.
But at least Dark Horse had a track listing that makes sense.
Well, it's not even that it makes sense. Like, you just look at all the tracks in and of themselves. Pardon me. There isn't one track on there that doesn't do something for me, that doesn't have a hook on some level. And unfortunately, Feed the Machine, there's, like I said, there's two tracks that I just, oh really, those were on the album?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I forgot about those, you know, that sort of thing. So yeah, it's a 3.5 out of 5 for me. It's overall, it's, you know, it's a great album. It's a step forward in terms of, you know, artistic maturity, sort of thing. Like, it showed that these guys are grown. They're kind of getting beyond the stripper anthems and the drunk rock and all that, as some of their, a lot of their tracks have been in recent years.
I mean, just looking at Dark Horse right now, and again, I don't know if it was Chad or Ryan or Mike or Daniel, or if it was producer Mutt Lange, because Mutt Lange did produce Dark Horse. You know, we start with, and we're not going to go through a full album review, we already did this, but, you know, Something in Your Mouth, Burn It to the Ground, and, you know, Gotta Be Somebody. Gotta Be Somebody is the third track. It's a ballady track, but then we go to I'd Come For You, Next Go Round, Just to Get High, Never Gonna Be Alone, Shaking Hands, Sex, If Today Was Your Last Day, and then This Afternoon.
Which is my favorite, one of my favorite Nickelback tracks, because...
Yeah.
I mean, we don't really have music videos on TV anymore, at least as far as I'm aware. But
yeah,
the fact that, you know, we've got YouTube and Vimeo and all that, This Afternoon, just kind of what makes that track one of my favorites is the effort and the fun that the band had making an old school, like, late 80s, early 90s kind of mini movie music video. Like, you see that there's a story there, and yeah, it kind of devolves into like a drunken backyard party full of, you know, bikini clad women and female cops stripping out of their uniforms and looking all sexy, and I on some level of misogyny, as a guy, I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
But it's just, it takes it back, and it kind of reminds, like, This Afternoon kind of reminds me of like any number of 80s comedies that I watched growing up. Like, it just, it's got that comfort food kind of, you know, comfort foodness to it. So
with Song on Fire, I think the lyric video is better than the actual music video. I have no idea what the hell is going on. Like, I have no idea what kind of message they're supposed to be sent. Like, I was expecting something about, him writing stuff down and ripping the pieces of paper. I was not expecting a woodland adventure. I was not expecting Nickelback meets Lord of the fucking Rings, for crap's sake, because that's what we got with the Song on Fire music video. And while I love the track, I loathe the music video because it makes no fucking sense whatsoever.
Yeah, it's. I haven't seen. I didn't know they had a music. I knew they had the lyric
Really? You
video
didn't
up.
know you didn't know they
Well,
had the
I knew there
music.
was probably a music video coming. It's just like I haven't seen the Song on Fire music video yet. But I'll have to get back to you. The future on about to come swing around on this again. Now, hell, we can just do a special episode looking at Nickelback music videos.
No. I'm sure people are already pissed we've already talked this long about Nickelback, so.
Do that internet her opinions will pass. Well,
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, overall 3.5 stars. I liked it a lot. A couple of tracks that I'm just fart in the wind. But that's just me. Again, like I said, my opinion, these are our opinions, folks. Make of them what you will. I hope you guys at least check it out, give it a chance, because there's
time
no
to
reason
react.
Not to.
Time to react. It's too damn weird. It makes no sense.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out later, Mike. But
makes no fucking sense. Other
take a breath, Mike. Let it out slow.
Other rock and radios coming this year. I believe my buddy Matrix Prime and I are going to talk about the new Theory of a Dead Man album, because that's supposed to be out this year at some point. I don't think there's even any news on that yet. And there's probably going to be another one or two. And obviously, we got Mayhem Mike's episode 25 coming up here on GCR. We've got our nine top nines of the 90s. What are you doing with your podcasting life?
Well, currently I am on a, I want to say bi-weekly. It's just, I think the last 3 weeks we haven't managed to record Comic Connoisseurs with Ben, the host, Carver, and Red Ink. You know, we talk about comic books related stuff, comics, comic TV shows, stuff like that. Just life in general. I got really sick last week. Like, this is probably the third attempt that we made at recording this particular episode.
No. This is the actual recording of the episode.
I mean,
we never even got to make an attempt because you're sitting over there eating tacos from Taco Hell.
I'll explain. This is like when I say the third attempt that actually succeeded, because there was one Friday we're supposed to record, and then I never heard from Mike, so that's on you. And then
I told you my nobody pays attention to my social media. I sit here and said, "Oh my God, my computer died,"
and then
you died from eating Taco Hell
later, Mike, because I was on,
and then you died from Taco Hell dogs.
Hello, Kentucky.
Uh-huh.
And then I saw like the next day, and then I went and it turned out I got a little ill from eating the Taco Bell that had opened like 3 days before here in Saskatoon. And
the sad thing, folks, is he got ill from Taco Hell the day the album released.
Mike?
You did.
I got a little ill. A little. What really took me out is I got a hell of a summer cold, because
no, it was the it was the meat that's one grade higher than dog food.
You're not WebMD, and it's always cancer. So yeah, we finally got
in Taco Hell's case, it is always cancer.
Whatever. Anyway, yeah, so I'm on Comic Connoisseurs. At least, you know, we record every Monday. It's out later that week. Also taking part in. Our co-host Red has created a show called Redline Rumbles, where it's basically it's like Death Battle on YouTube. We pick two comic book characters, we throw them up against each other, and we argue who would win. You know, we look at their basic gear, their fighting style, such like that. And recently, I joined our friend TV's Mr. Neil in recording a commentary for his Big Bad Movie show. And we did G.I. Joe the Movie 1987. And I had a lot of fun with that. I didn't even know he was taking guest hosts until I watched his Transformers the Movie thing, where he mentioned you and me at the end there. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, put me on this one. Put me on this one.
Yep.
Put me in, coach.
Yep.
But that's what I'm doing.
Yep. So here's what I suggest, folks. If you're using iTunes, well, first of all, go to Nickelback's YouTube channel, and they have all of the tracks for Feed the Machine on there as audio, audio video things, but it's the audio versions of the tracks with the album art on there. Go there, listen to them for free. If you'd like to buy the album, or if you're already using Spotify or whatever other, you know, Amazon Music service or whatever, select the tracks that you like. Don't buy the whole album. Don't listen. This is the only Nickelback album that since we've been doing this that I will specifically say do not listen to the entire album, because it makes no damn sense with the way that it's presented. So we're gonna get the hell out of here, and we're gonna close. We'll close with Must Be Nice. Might as well. Because I already put Coin for the Ferryman in here somewhere. And then we had that weird Taylor Swift, Chad Kroeger coupling earlier. So there is that. Unleash the Geek in You, and we will catch you next time.